open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Revelation 5, verse 6, and they sang a new song with these words. You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it. Why? Remember, the question was raised, who is worthy to break these seals? Yeshua is. For you were killed, and your blood has, it's already happened, your blood has ransomed the people for God. From where? Every tribe and every language and people and nation. Amen. And you have caused them to become. You are becoming. God is becoming. He's doing a work in you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He's doing a work in His church.
Hallelujah.
And you have caused them to become God's kingdom and His priest.
Amen.
Just look around. God is causing you. He has caused. He's already done the work.
Yes.
For His people to be His kingdom and His priests.
Amen.
That means you're called to rule, you're called to reign, and you're called to minister with the anointing and power and authority of God.
Amen.
That's who you are. That's who I am. And they will reign.
Yes.
It's not that we might reign. They will reign on the earth. Hallelujah. He is worthy. Praise God. Now we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And we're just going to sort of get started without a great introduction to the book. We'll work on that a little more as we move along. But we're going to start with chapter 1. The New Living Translation starts out with these words, long ago. Say long ago. Long ago, God spoke many times in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. Yes? In the past. Long ago. But 2 says, but now. Things are different now than they were. The way God talked to them in the past, that was pretty impressive. But now, God is speaking In these days, and I don't know what kind of a translation you have, but your translation will probably say something like mine does, in these final days, in time days. Formerly God spoke through the prophets, but now, in these final days, He has spoken to us through His Son. This is awesome. This to me is the most powerful witness that's in all of the Word of God.
Amen.
That Jesus is coming again. And that we are in the end times. Because up until the end times, God spoke a different way than He's speaking now. When God sends His Son to be the voice, God is saying that all of those days before, when God spoke through the prophets, He was revealing Himself. He was talking about what was going to come. But then in the end time, He sends His Son.
Amen.
And His Son, the coming of Jesus Christ, is the most powerful witness that He's coming again. The fact that God sent Him and shattered the division. That division has been broken. You remember there was the most holy place that only the high priest could go in, and only go in once a year. But through the coming of the Messiah, the most holy place becomes everybody's place. No longer is God held off. No longer is He a long ways away. No longer is He given a message through another priest. But now He comes. He comes to us as one who is going to say, the end of time has begun.
Amen.
To me, the most powerful witness that we're living in the last days is that God now has spoken through His Son. We look at this passage and we think about the end times. I want you to go with me to Romans, and we're going to look at the end times in Romans. Now, you probably know that Romans tells us about the end times. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The Holy Spirit gives us these words. Romans 1, verse 16. Paul is stating, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of this good news. It is the power of God unto salvation. New Living Translation is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed. He too died a martyr. Last Sunday we were talking about the proof of those who lived and died in faith. Not just for their faith.
Yes.
They lived and died in faith. There is a great difference between someone dying for a faith and someone dying in faith. Those who died, the martyrs, died in faith for the cause of Jesus Christ. So it's the power of God unto salvation. Jews first and also Gentiles. This good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. You have to believe that He is. It's impossible to please God without faith. We'll see that as we move through Hebrews. It is by faith. And by faith, one comes into the kingdom of God. For the truth about God is known to them that instinctively... Oh, let me back up. Let me go to verse 18. But God shows his anger from heaven. What is God angry about?
Sin.
Sin. Why do you think God is so angry about sin? You think it's because he hates the sinner?
No.
Most certainly not. God is most angry at sin because he loves the sinner. You see, if God didn't love the sinner, he would just not care. But when you care, and you see someone you care about, someone that you have invested in, you see your son, your daughter, your grandchildren, somebody you're praying for, you see somebody that you love like you love your having eyesight, someone that is precious to you, someone that is valued, when you see someone like that making destructive choices, the destroyer that's working in their life, there is an anger, a righteous anger against the work of the destroyer.
Yes.
And so God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who do something with the truth. Now, this is not just unsaved people.
Well,
this isn't that God hates the sinner. What is this verse saying? His anger from heaven is against sinful, wicked people who are pushing the truth away. They're rejecting the truth. In other words, they know better. The anger of God is being poured out against those who know better but are willfully choosing to destroy others. Do you know those who know better become the tools of the devil to destroy others' lives? This is why it's so dangerous today, I believe, for pastors to compromise the Word of God and to ignore the truth of the Scriptures. Because the Word says, to whom much is
given.
Oh, there's going to be a day of accountability.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
To whom much is given, much is required. It literally means that you're holding the truth and you throw it on the floor and you stand on it and you stomp on it to completely destroy it. It's someone who knows what God has said but refuses with willful choice to reject it. I remember Gary Rummel years ago asking the question, who are you at war with? You see, if you're in Christ, you're at war with the enemy. If you're a child of God, there is a war going on. You're at war with the enemy if you're in Christ. If you are in the world, and you know the Word of God, and you're resisting the Word of God, and you're pushing back against the Word of God, and in essence, you're doing what I've never seen anyone do, but I've read of some that will raise their fist and shake it to God and blaspheme His name. Who have known better and have known the Word. What a dangerous place to be in. And why is our world in the mess it's in? Father, I pray for Holy Spirit wisdom and discernment this morning to understand the source of the most wicked, demonic evils that are in our land today. You say, well, surely those are coming from the pit of hell. Yes, I will agree with that, but I want you to see where the messengers have come to in their life and who the devil is using the most. Amen. Would you be shocked if I tell you that the devil is using people in the pulpit and in the church with a church background more than anywhere else to pollute and destroy our nation? Well, I didn't write this book, but the Holy Spirit has given us these words. God shows His anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who push the truth away from themselves. For the truth about God is known to them instinctively. God has put this knowledge in their hearts. Remember, there was a time it was on the stone. Now it's on our hearts. From the time the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky and all that God has made. They can clearly see His invisible quality, His eternal power, and His divine nature. So they have no excuse whatsoever for not knowing God. So no one's going to have an excuse that stands before God. But God, you didn't. Well, God, you should have. God, you could have. God, you could have stopped this. God, you could have changed that. I hear people making all kinds of statements about God. If there was a God, He wouldn't allow there to be. Remember somebody saying, well, God wouldn't allow there to be crack babies. God wouldn't allow there to be so much pain. Wouldn't allow there to be so much abuse. So much trafficking, so many gangs, so much killing, so much. If God was a God of love, God says that's not a good excuse. It's not going to work. All of us, everyone, the greatest of the kings to the least and the most unknown, will bow their knees and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. God says there's no excuse. Doesn't matter where you're raised. If you have life and you have breath, then you have been exposed to the goodness of God on such a level that you're accountable. To whom much is given, much is required. And God is saying that people push the truth away. They literally are saying, God, leave me alone. I've had people tell me, don't pray for me. Don't pray for me. Now, that's one thing for somebody to tell me not to pray for them, and I don't mind manners very well. So you may have someone telling you, you just keep your Jesus and leave me alone. Well, maybe they're not that bold. Maybe they just tell you, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Don't bring this up to me another time. Well, we don't have to mind them. We're going to mind the Holy Spirit, right?
Yes.
That doesn't mean that they're lost. Amen. That means that they're hard-hearted. It doesn't mean that God's not reaching out to them. If God put them on your heart, then God is reaching out to them.
Amen.
And maybe they have no interest. There was a day I had no interest. There may have been a day when you are conscious that you didn't have an interest. Some of you may have grown up and always had a tender heart toward the Lord. What a beautiful gift that is to have that in your history. But there are many in our nation today that would say by their lifestyle and their choices, God, I don't have time for you. Don't interrupt my life. Don't mess up my lifestyle. I don't want to live a righteous life. I don't want to live a clean life. I don't want to live a pure life. I want to do whatever I want to do. Our world is filled with this, and our schools have been teaching that this is right.
Yes.
But look at what the Word says. Verse 21. 20 said they have no excuse. 21, yes, they knew God. They knew about Him. But they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. The result was that their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people or birds or animals and snakes. So I've been reading through the Old Testament about all of these gods. The Baals, the Molochs, the Ashtoreths, the altars, the human sacrifice. I'm reading about all this in the Word of God. Where did all the gods go? All these nations, they worshiped their gods. They had their temples. They had their temple prostitutes. They had their temple ceremonies. So there was a temple in Jerusalem that had ceremonies. And they had the Torah. But then the nations had their own gods. Well, what happened to all of those? With the coming of Jesus, there was a light that came into the darkness on the earth. There was light that penetrated the cemetery. And light from God's very throne room came onto our earth. And the gods who ruled in the nations began to lose their grip on civilization as Christianity began to spread throughout the known lands. And the temples would be vacated. And these massive buildings would become ruins. They would crumble. And the gods and the idols would become something of a historical past. As a civilization would be turned to faith in Jesus Christ. But Jonathan Cahn chronicles the fact that the world has become such a dark place that the gods of history have been returning. And they've been returning to the United States of America, and the Baals have been setting up their places of worship. The worship of child sacrifice through abortion restores the idolatry and death celebrated by these cults throughout history. And so we're at a point in history where we call it the end times because Jesus came and instituted the end times with his coming. Now look at this. The people begin to think foolish ideas. What messed up their thinking? How did people who knew about Jesus, grew up in Sunday school, how did a generation or two generations bring us to where we are in America this morning? These are end times.
Yes.
And in the end times, God's Son is speaking. Verse 24 tells us God let them go ahead and do whatever shameful things their hearts desire. Is there anyone in here that's experienced conviction of the Holy Spirit? It's a wonderful thing.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Have your way, Lord.
I'm so glad for the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Come on.
I remember as a young man, I must have been no more than 4 when God began to deal with my heart. My brother had no interest. Brother's with Jesus today. God changed his interest. Isn't that good? But when I was young, older brother had no interest. He was a big influence in my life. And I remember sitting in that chair in that tent during that meeting with all the street people, the day laborers, the drunks that came in. Worst part of town. Big weeds had been cut. Dad set up the tent, feeding the people that were living on alcohol, literally. They got paid every day and they drank until they passed out. And when they came to the tent, most of them were covered with urine and stunk horribly. And their clothing was discolored with feces. And Dad greeted them with a hug and fed them and gave them strong black coffee and prayed that God would bring them out of their stupor and then preach the word of God to them. But I was there too. I was just a kid. I remember when the Holy Spirit started knocking on my heart, "Will you give me your life?" God does not ask you for Sunday morning for a 45-minute tip.
That's right.
Hello?
Yes.
God is not asking you to put a tip in the offering. God does not accept your leftovers and my leftovers. America has drifted to where we believe we're doing something really big if we simply give occasionally and show up.
Come on.
But God never asked us to show up for 2 hours. He said, "Will you give me your life?" That's a lie. God, why are you asking for my life? Because your life is lost unless your life is redeemed by His life. God asked me to give no more than He gave. God asked you to give no more than He gave. Those who are watching today, God asked you to give no more than He gave. He gave His whole Son's life. I might have life.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His Word. Hearken to the voice of God to thee. Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust.